Ay, please, Ochtomundi. Ay, Karl Marx here. I am all seriousness today, my friends. There is this show you must not listen to. The ultimate remedy with this guy, LB. This guy has figured me out. I hear it on Tuesday, and he is telling the truth. I mean lies. Stay away from this guy. Where's my good hairbrush? Anybody see me? Mama!
Want to learn more about the Marxist agenda and other important stuff? Listen to The Ultimate Remedy with L.B. Bork. Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern. Right here on Revolution Radio.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreessen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the second hour of Ohio Exopolitics. It's 5:01 p.m. It's the 27th of February, 2021. And I think before the break, I was going to tell you about important things to tell yourself, which I had been previously discussing. But what I wanted to say is that we are programming the subconscious mind using repetition. And Dr. Bruce Lipton mentions this. It's very important to program your subconscious, because we are programmed with negativity. Our society has programmed a certain negativity. So we want to fix that programming, so to speak, which is very, very, very critical. We spent the first hour, and I talked about creation, the universal consciousness. I talked about the creational natural laws, like love and striving, and the law of harmony, and the law of system and order, which means you have an order in your life, you have a schedule. Then we talked briefly about reincarnation, and I talked about the seven stages of evolution a little bit. And what I want to kind of move towards this hour is a clarification of the creational universal consciousness. Now, the guy that I think does a great job with this, of course, the greatest is Billy, who's written all this amazing material. But there's a guy in Canada called Michael Utterbrook who talks about creation. And he does a really good job. And I'm going to, and some of this is in my notes, and I wanted to just share this with you a little bit. It says, the creation is not a god or a father figure. It is absolutely without a gender. It is both positive and negative and complete equality. The creation is neutral. Its power and wisdom is the greatest in its own space and time structure. Creation must continuously evolve. What a different concept than the religions and the notion of God. And we'll get back to the God thing. The creation is bound to the laws of the Ur-creation, which is a higher power of consciousness. The Ur-creation created the creation out of its idea. So our universe was created out of the idea of the Ur creation, and it's bound to the laws of this Ur creation, which is a higher power of consciousness. It's the Ur universe. It's what our universe is evolving into. And there are 10 to 24th power stages of evolution of universes. So what it's all about is the evolution of these universes. And we're just a tiny little speck in one of these universes. So the Ur creation is bound to the laws of a higher consciousness called the Absolute, Absolute. So our creation form is the lowest form of all creations. We have a material belt. This is one of the things I confess I have not totally absorbed, is, you know, to me, without material, then, you know, is it real? I don't know. Our creation has the lowest swinging wave form. It's the swinging wave is something that's talked about in the Meyer material. And it has to do with our thinking and this energy that comes out from our mind. So we have a tremendous power. So anyway, the so death, not to change the subject, but death is just another aspect of life. And we, once we die, the spirit form leaves the body. It takes the subconscious, the conscious mind, the unconscious with it. It takes all of that and that's in the material consciousness, and it goes in the spirit realm, and it's going to spend oodles of time. Well, if it can. You know, usually under ideal situations, we would spend, if we lived 100 years in the physical, we would then go into the spiritual state for 152 years, roughly, and we would process everything we learned in the previous life. The spirit then would create a new consciousness, a new subconscious, a new unconscious, a new personality. It would program the subconscious with all the wisdom of all the previous lives. So right below the conscious mind is the subconscious. And all, you have all the wisdom of all your previous lives there. You just have to learn to trust it. You have to learn when you're getting these impulses from your spirit form. See, the spirit form will send you these direction-determining impulses, which are critical, which are very, very important. So try to listen for those. Pay attention to those. So again, our creation is actually the lowest form of all creations. And we still have a material. We are, I consider it a blessing to be in a universe that has a material belt. And I assume before our universe, long before our universe is over, we will have been through all the spiritual levels. There are 7 spirit levels. You know, after we evolve, in each one of those steps, you know, primitive life, rational life, intelligent life, real life, life and creational wisdom, half physical, half spiritual, and all the spirit steps, the 7 stages of spiritual life, and then we merge back with creation. So that happens relatively quickly. And relatively quickly, I mean, it's billions of years, right? But in terms of the lifetime of the universe, it's relatively quickly. So we'll be part of the universal consciousness then. We'll be, we're kind of boots on the ground. So in the first stage, it's real primitive, you know, we're cavemen or whatever, and then the rational life stage comes, and we spend maybe 10, 15 million years in there. You know, we're learning to be reasonable, we're learning technologies, and then we go into the intelligent life, which we have in technology at that point, space travel. Then we get to the real life stage, and we learn to create amazing things at this level. Semyase talked about her ship as having its centralized CPU was sentient, and she could speak with it telepathically. It was self-aware. It was a living being. It was biological. They had created it somehow. And it's an awesome thing, and it used to feel very disturbing to me to think about that. But in fact, when we get to that level, that fourth level, we're millions of years old. 40 million years old our spirit forms are at that point. This the Pleiaren that Billy has contact with are that advanced. And then the fifth stage is life and creational wisdom. And in that stage, we are what's called the kings of wisdom, Ishwish, or Ishrish for the women. And we can do phenomenal things with our thoughts. Teleportation, and things like that. I also wanted to, hopefully haven't lost it. I had so many interesting things. Okay. Let's go back to the whole term of God again. And I'm going to give you the Meyer material perspective on that. Now, to understand that, you have to understand one thing, is that there are human beings in our universe. They look just like us. A lot of the extraterrestrials out there, in reality, despite the fact what the media has done, they look so much like us. And in fact, we in some ways have come from them. Like, for example, the people from Lyra Vega were here like 22 million years ago, and then again something like 280,000 or 290,000 years ago. And then for a brief time, even sooner, or more recently in our past, they were here. And some of the Lyrians got stuck here on Earth because of bad things that they had done in previous lives. It was kind of their punishment. So now they're stuck in this primitive society, and they reincarnate, and they're like, oh my goodness, this can't be right, and we're working with stone tools again, and you know, the people, you know, it's a, okay, just leave it at that. But our ancestors, our forefathers, are from Lyra Vega in a different space-time configuration. I don't know that I really emphasize that, but again, our universe is egg-shaped. It has seven rings that counter-rotate. In the fourth ring, there are seven space-time configurations. And our forefathers came from another space-time configuration. Not from our Lyra Vega, but from their Lyra Vega, which is another Lyra Vega. So, and that's a whole nother discussion. And I don't have a lot of more to add to that. But it's very, very interesting and very strange. The universe is so strange. Anyway, let me continue here. We're talking... And this comes from a page from the Future Mankind site called Nocodemian, which is, again, one of the predecessor personalities of Billy, Edward Albert Meyer. And here's a woman named Florina who's going to talk about the term God and where it comes from and all this. Florina says, I can say that the term God goes back to our ancestors, the ancient Lyrian folk, who used this word God to refer to an imaginary being who was portrayed as the supreme, supraplanetary, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnicapable creature in the imaginative tales they invented. And since we too have fairy tales, it has always been the case that a supraplanetary imaginary being called God is represented in ours too. The origin of the term God, however, we only found when last year in 2011, very old Lyrian folklore tales were made available to us, which had been lost until then, and from which it becomes clear that the tales of God can be traced back to the Syrian refugees, who were generally only from the peoples of Kudra and the Nisan star system beyond the Milky Way galaxy's central sun, because they settled beyond it, or rather, because they were the only ones who had been able to live in the galaxy beyond this galactic center, just beyond the galactic central sun. Parts of these refugees then emigrated to the Lyra Vega areas where they were discovered by the ancient Lyrian researchers. So that's just a brief. The term God also, the Myra information says that there was a group of extraterrestrials that lived below the Great Pyramids in these old cubical constructions that were 70,000 years old. And they were called the Giza Intelligences, or the Befoth. And they used religion to deceive the people of the earth. They had rulers starting with, I think, Eris the 11th, who was 11 generations removed from Eris the Barbarian. But Eris had a son named Jehave. Jehave had a son named Jehovan. Jehovan had a son named Arisame. Arisame had a son, or actually Arisame lost power to Jehovah, and that's what I was trying to get to. Jehovah, who is the God of the Old Testament, was actually one of these extraterrestrial, and then Jehovah was replaced by Comegal the First, and then Comegal the Second. Comegal the Second interacted with the Nazis in World War II, and they had a guy named Hermann Steinschneider who they worked with to negatively affect Hitler, who originally was impulsed by the Pleiaren to be a very positive person and a positive leader for the world, until these Giza intelligences and people from the Thule Society started kind of manipulating Hitler, and eventually Hitler, of course, took a very bad path, a very negative path, and you know the story of World War II, at least part of it. It's maybe we can make a little turn in that direction a little bit later. It's a very interesting story, I think. It's kind of, if you take it just from a religious point of view, then of course it's very, it's like a blasphemy. But I don't know, it doesn't strike me that way necessarily. It's very interesting. I want to also talk about this Nokedamian spirit form, because this is one of the predecessor personalities of Edward Albert Meyer, and he was a very famous teacher for the Pleiaren. So in a way that I was talking about Sfoth earlier, Billy's first contact, they were trading places, because Nokedamian, I believe, had taught Sfoth in earlier times. So let me try to read a little bit here, and this comes from another extraterrestrial. This is Contact Report 228. This is Quetzal, and she's going to talk about Semyase. He's going to talk about Semyase, who was Billy's third contact, a woman, who used to land her ship right there near Billy's home in Smidruti. As he would ride out his moped, and the two would sit until people started coming around, and then they had to have the meetings inside the ship while she was hovering somewhere up there. But in any case, Quetzal says, Semyase and I, as well as Ptah and the father, and his father, Sphath, and my father, belong to a lineage that goes back to Henoch and Nokedamion and their sons. It was these sons who committed themselves to the mission of teaching, the teachings of the Spirit, which is what I've been talking about, the creational natural laws, the information and the way to live, and the might of thoughts, and the psyche, and the Talmud of Emmanuel, and the Goblet of Truth. So the same, you know, these are all written down. A lot of times, particularly on Earth, until now, this is the first time these principles have been really saved and written down correctly. I believe what we have in our Bible is a kind of confused, watered-down version of this. So let me continue here. It says, it was these sons who committed themselves to the mission of the teaching of the Spirit to all the lineages that emerged from Nokedamion and Henoch in hereditary succession, and for preserving all the relevant knowledge that has been continuously compiled and recorded up to the present day, and which today comprises more than 77 million OM canons. Now, what is OM? OM is the Omphalan Mirado. It's another book that Billy has. It's pronounced Om in Sanskrit. It's an ancient word derived from an old Lyrian language, which has long since been lost on Earth. The actual meaning of the Om is disclosed when the full significance of both letters are revealed by an explanation of the two words, whose first letters begin with O and M, Omphalan Mirado. When abridged as OM, these two words, Omphalan Mirado, possess the identical, indeed an even greater, tonal harmony, tonal harmony significance when the two are fully pronounced as Omphalan Mirado. For this reason, the abbreviation of OM was used and became traditional form. The ancient Lyrians refer to the writings about the truth, the Book of Truth, as OM, Omphalan Mirado, life's navel, the navel of life. OM incorporates all the creational teachings, that is to say, the book holds all the teachings of wisdom and life. It's divided, the Omphalan Mirado is divided into these, what are they called, canons. And I'll read just a little bit of Canon 9. I always go off on gigantic tangents, and this is again one of them. Canon 9, it says, in the name of creation, the wise, the righteous, praise be creation, which created the heavens, the firmaments, and earth, and gave birth to the darkness and the light. Praise be creation, because it conceived of and created humanity and sent him an evolutionary goal. And it is creation that exists in everything, in the heavens, firmaments, in the stars and galaxies, in the earth, and in all the multitudes of life, so that everything exists according to its nature. And it is recognizable in all and everything internally and externally. And it has determined the goal of life and the final goal of the being for all that creeps and flies and for all that lives and exists. But the earth human doubts this. And those who are unknowing and autocratical and stupid set themselves above it. They do not know reverence and respect, nor truth, nor love, neither knowledge nor wisdom. They are prisoners of themselves and full of righteousness, ill humor, selfishness and self-pity, and they are entrapped in their egoism and in their erroneous and false thinking. They set up others as equals to creation and therewith impel worship and adoration with idols and gods, both living and dead, and they misrepresent them as having the power of creation, and they are fearful before them, and they set people above creation, who they worship and adore and despots as despots. Excuse me. And they are named God by the earth humans. So that's the Meyer material, the take on the term God. I knew I should have got some water during the break, but I kept looking through this stuff. So in any way, I was reading about Nicodemian, and this is one of the earlier lifetimes of Edward Albert Meyer. And there's some very interesting thing about this codex that the people from Lyra Vega who were here But I think I'm not going to get into this because this is very involving and it kind of takes us down a whole nother path of study that's quite interesting, but that's another rabbit hole that I could go down. And there's nothing wrong with a rabbit hole now and then, but sometimes I think I spend a little bit too much time going down rabbit holes. You know, one of the most, and I don't have this book, and this would probably trigger very many religious people, including myself, although I just have developed a great respect for the Meyer teachings over time. You know, there are still some things that I come across that the contact reports will say, and I just don't see how that could possibly be true. Some of the things that are said in the contact reports occasionally, but you know, as time goes on, boy, these contact reports and the Meyer teaching in general shock me. They continue to shock me that they almost, you know, you'd be very, very hard to find something that they've not predicted correctly or not prophesied correctly. One of the things that they've talked about in Contact Report 250, and I've not spent enough time on this lately, is the coming civil war, which the U.S. is supposed to go through. Civil war is anarchy in America. So let me, and I don't, you know, I remember years ago, not that long ago, 4 or 5 years ago, thinking, I just can't imagine this, but now it seems so real. Civil war is an anarchy in America. Contact Report 215, this was written in the 80s, I believe. Yet the misery on earth will continue as two terrible civil wars will break out in the United States, in America, whereby one will follow the other. Afterwards, the United States of America will break apart and deadly hostility will prevail among her. Now, a lot of people don't realize this, I'm afraid, but the presidential election we just had complete and total election fraud. Trump won probably all 50 states. What happened is they brought in, right when the polling centers were closed for the night, they brought in hundreds of thousands, millions of these mail-in ballots, which were totally bogus, which came from people that weren't registered voters, came from people that were dead, just made up people, and we have the films of them taking these ballots from underneath tables and run through the voting machines multiple times. So instead of having